Good morning and welcome to the live broadcast from 8th Reformed Church, located at 841 Burton Street, Southwest in Wyoming, Michigan. Today, Pastor Harry Coops will bring a message entitled, The Comforter Has Come, from Scripture found in John 15, 26 and 27, and John 16, 7 through 15. This is Beth Coops inviting you to stay tuned in for the next hour as we join the service this morning.
Well, good morning and welcome to all who have gathered in God's house to worship and praise the living God, the one who sent the Holy Spirit to be our wisdom, to be our comforter, to be our advocate, to be our helper, to be our counselor. And so this is a great Sunday to be together. Every Sunday is, but last week we had Ascension Sunday. Today we're doing Pentecost Sunday, and we're excited to have the Spirit acknowledged today in a real significant way. Sometimes he's looked at a little bit as the junior member of the Trinity, but Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, they are one God, three persons, one God, and today the focus will be on him, as well as that we pray he runs rampant in our midst. If you're visiting with us, we are really glad you're here. We hope you're blessed this morning, that the service touches your heart. There's only that Holy Spirit can do that. We say a special welcome to Ann Jean as she's on the organ. She said she's not coming back till Burton's fixed, so I hope that's pretty soon. But thanks for being here, Ann Jean, and helping us out when we need that. And Paul isn't really on vacation. He's up at Big Star playing there. But they just won't let go of him, and I can understand why. So this all works out good. If you're visiting with us today, we invite you to stay for time of fellowship. Actually, we invite everybody to stay for that. Downstairs in our fellowship hall, coffee and cookies, and just a time to be together and to shake hands and to greet one another. If this is your first visit, there's a guest book right through those doors. If you're kind enough to sign that's really helpful, and we would appreciate you to do that. If you join us through other means, so that would be Jethro Radio on the internet, jethro.fm, YouTube, or later get CDs. We're glad that we can connect in this way. We hope that you are blessed through the service. And all those who hear this, the service through some electronic means, but would be able to come in person. This is your personal invitation to come and be part of our church family. We're a pretty informal group. We're pretty friendly. I think you'd feel at home quickly. And we meet live time Sunday mornings, 9:30. This is also Memorial Day weekend. And we thank God for all the freedoms that are ours in His grace. We're also thankful for all those who have served. And I'm going to ask at this time, if you have ever served or if you are currently serving, if you would stand. If standing is hard, just give a wave, but we'd like to acknowledge you. If you've served in the military, if you would stand at this time. We thank you for your service. We're indebted to all who have served, and especially to those who have died for our freedoms. And so we never want to take that for granted. It's good to have a weekend like this to acknowledge it. And tonight at 6 p.m., we're having a Christian patriotic hymn sing Memorial Day service. Everyone is invited. Come and be blessed. And I think it's important to attend a service like this where we really stop to think about what this weekend is about and why this is a long weekend, and how much that we have to be thankful for, and to savor the gifts that we've been given, and not to take it for granted. If you're not able to attend, Jethro Radio has also graciously promised to broadcast the service live tonight, so that's another way that you can join us. And then there's a couple of other announcements. As you've all seen, Burton Street is under construction. You got the prayer chain, so you knew a little bit about it that way. We didn't know exactly when the date was going to be, but obviously it's started now. And they have promised us that the church would always be accessible, so we would always be able to get here. So we're grateful for that. And then I have two other announcements. One is on behalf of the women's ministry team, please sign up today for our church picnic. The church picnic is in 2 weeks, June 7th. Be real clear about that date. And there's a nice thing on the back of your bulletin about June 7th, church picnic, 11 a.m. Sign up sheet in the hallway, right in that hallway over there. Be sure to sign up because it's really helpful for the people that are organizing this to kind of know how many people to count on. And then the women's Bible study, the Wednesday night Bible study, meets at 6:30. That is scheduled for this week. And so if you're part of that group, I invite you to come this Wednesday night and to gather around God's Word. This morning we are going to focus on Pentecost, and our call to worship highlights the blessing of Pentecost. Hear the Word of God. The Spirit gathers us to worship God. The Spirit builds us up in faith and hope and love, so that we may go into the world to proclaim the gospel of reconciliation with Jesus Christ our Lord, and to work for justice and peace. To that end, let us worship the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, with praise, adoration, gratitude, and humility. And let's stand to sing, and our first song is 799, America the Beautiful. And you wonder, well, how's this work? The country we get to live in is also a gift from the Holy Spirit, a blessing that He has given us, and we want to acknowledge God with thankfulness as we sing America the Beautiful. 799, standing to sing. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, how you have shed your grace on us. Help us always to see your hand in it all, that you are our provider. You are the one who orchestrates the affairs of the nations, and you are the one who gives us the freedom to gather together, even this morning, to lift up your name, to worship you and to praise you, and to see you as the Lord over all, the King of kings, the Lord of lords. Thank you that you've called us to worship and that your Spirit has moved in our hearts that we even want to be here. And now our prayer is that with his presence, we will be fed through this service, touched in a way as only you can do that, equipped for the journey, filled with gratitude and thanksgiving. And we ask it all in the name of Jesus. Amen. Receive God's greeting, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. We'll continue worshiping our God by singing number 386, The Comforter Has Come. 386. As we were singing that, I thought, I wonder if the Holy Spirit ever wonders, hey, I've come, the Comforter's come, how come you people act so anxious and distraught and worried and uptight? Did you forget that I've come? I'm the Comforter. The Comforter's come, and I'm speaking to myself as much as to anyone else. So we come before our God with our congregational prayer. Most updates are in the bulletin. So I don't have a lot this morning, but I want to give you an update that Michelle Strading at Mary Freebed, where she's receiving therapy, and that's going quite well. And so the family's just really thankful that she's responding to therapy, and keep praying that good things will happen for Michelle and for Ron too. And then the other names and the updates are all in the bulletin. The only other update I have is that the prayer chain came out this week for Betty Holmes, and she's still at Trinity Hospital, and that's just it's a long journey and a hard road. And so keep Betty Holmes in prayer. She doesn't know exactly how long she'll be at Trinity, but at least a few more days. And just complications with different things that she's dealing with. So pray for Betty and pray for her family. Her daughter is a real good caregiver to her and helps out a lot. Her husband is dealing with pneumonia, and so she's like caught between two really busy places. And so lots of needs going on. So let's come before our God with our congregational prayer. Loving Heavenly Father, Savior of our souls, the Lord of our lives, we have come to worship you. We've come to praise you and adore you. Thank you for Pentecost, that the victorious Jesus, our advocate, sent the Holy Spirit to dwell in us, that the Comforter has come. And you alone are worthy of praise if you have forgiven our sins. And we know that ultimately our freedom is in you and you alone. And so our prayerful request is that if this is real for us, we thank the Holy Spirit for unlocking our hearts in such a way that we say, yes, this is truth. I subscribe to it with my whole heart, without any reservation. And then we pray for those for whom this hasn't happened, that you graciously would unlock their hearts, touch their hearts as only you can, make their hearts soft as you did ours, to respond to the love of Christ. Father, we know you can do that, and we also know you do it in your own timing. And if we can be instruments used by you, we pray that you give us words to say or tell us what not to say. And tell us when to show restraint or when to have a boldness. But you, Holy Spirit, our teacher, would you always lead us and would you always guide us? On this Memorial Day weekend, we thank you for our nation, for the way that you have blessed this country, as we acknowledge that our rights come not from human leaders, but from you. Thank you that we can call this our homeland, for the grace that you have given her throughout her history. And we know that all we have is a gift from you, and that you truly have dealt kindly with us. Help us to remember on this Memorial Day that the freedoms we enjoy are never free. Thank you for those who are willing to fight for freedom throughout the history of this land, from the Revolutionary War to the current conflicts. We remember those who died in battle and those who didn't die, but continue to live with the trauma of war, the disabled veterans, those for whom the war never ends, even though the battles did. And as we pray for them, we pray for their families as well. We pray for those who are serving even now, here at home or scattered around the globe. Pray for their loved ones, those who wait at home. We ask for your blessing on our chaplains as they minister to our servicemen and women. We also pray for our National Guard, for ICE, for the men and women in blue who often deal with hostility as they carry out their tasks at home. We want to include our firefighters and our EMTs, all of our first responders. We seek your protection for them and their families. And then we pray for our leaders, our president, our vice president, his cabinet, the Congress, the Supreme Court. And then at all levels of government, including our state governor, all who serve in Lansing, and then our local government. Father, your word tells us that you set up rulers, you take them down, the people are chosen for such a time as this. Our prayer is that your spirit could work in each one of their hearts too, in such a way that there could be peace in the land, because you are orchestrating it. Living in this land, we have been so blessed, so blessed. Don't let us squander or sabotage the freedoms and the gifts that you have given us. And so to that end, we pray, Lord, have mercy on our land. As we pray that for ourselves, we pray for nations around the world. So many just living in constant turmoil. So many war on their soil. So many with refugee camps and folks that just have no place to really call home. And so we come to you and we pray for your grace. Ultimately, what we would pray for is that in every nation, people could gather together like we're doing this morning and lift up the name of Jesus and call him Lord. We pray for our families. Families are a blessing from you, a gift from you, and we know that families can be just a real source of joy, and they can also be a real challenge. And so our prayer is that you strengthen our homes, strengthen our marriages, our relationships as parents and children, children and parents, with grandparents, extended family, and so that we could honor you in how we live. We remember those in nursing homes, homebound or assisted living. This morning we pray for Shirley Gritt and Bob Noteboom. For those dealing with different health issues, we think of all the names in the bulletin and all the families that are affected. And we say a special prayer this morning for Joe Van Beek as he has his foot surgery this Tuesday. For your continued blessing on Michelle Strading as she does therapy at Mary Freebed. And then we pray for Betty Holmes as she's being treated at Trinity. We know this has been a long road, and you've blessed her with a wonderful spirit. You keep sustaining her. Will you give her lots of grace, as well as the family members who are supporting her? And then we're grateful that Karen Roberts, Terry Pepper, and Jason Olson are all recovering, and that Terry, on this is birthday, also hopes to go home from the Oaks even this morning. We seek your grace for all who are grieving the loss of loved ones and all who will make the trek to the cemetery this weekend to remember what once was, but now is no more. Thank you for conquering death, that you are the God of the resurrection, that you are the God of the ascension, that you are the God who sent the Holy Spirit, the Comforter. We pray for Christian and Cecilia van Dyck in the Netherlands. And we pray, Father, for all missionaries, wherever they are planted, wherever they're working, wherever you have called them, as well as we pray for the local church, which is also the hope of the world. Protect all who are faithful to your word. And then we think of those who are martyred for your cause, for speaking words of life. We pray for all who worship here at 8th Reformed or join us on Jethro or other means. For the leaders of this church, help all to be faithful to the one who calls us, because ultimately you are our supreme commander. We ask your spirit's presence in tonight's patriotic hymn sing. May it glorify you and then be a blessing to all who attend. On this Pentecost Sunday, we're thankful for the spirit of truth that you sent to dwell in our hearts. May we never trivialize or negate him. As we open your word this morning, may the Holy Spirit speak to us with clarity and enlighten our hearts with the truth of your word. We ask this in the name of the ascended Jesus, who sent the Comforter and taught us to pray, saying together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Let's continue worshiping our God by standing to sing number 389, Spirit of the Living God, 389. You may be seated. Dear congregation, today is part of the Memorial Long Weekend. A weekend that, along with Labor Day, bookends our summer. It's a weekend of eating hot dogs, opening the cottage, working in the yard, maybe watching the Indy 500 or the Coca-Cola 600. It's a weekend to honor the dead, those who gave their all so that we might live in freedom. And so we have parades, we visit the cemeteries, we put flags on the graves of the soldiers, we hold special services. In 1971, Memorial Day became a national holiday to honor all who had died in America's wars. Tonight, we will have a special service to honor those who gave their all. Efforts so blessed by God so that we can live and worship in freedom. It also seems fitting that we draw attention to another kingdom this morning, the kingdom of God, of which we are the eternal citizens. Now, in the temporary earthly kingdom, it is proper and appropriate that we honor the dead with reverence and respect. In contrast, the kingdom of God celebrates life and being empowered by the Holy Spirit, sent by the one who conquered death forever. A completely different kingdom. And did you ever think about that? In the new heaven and the new earth, there will be no cemeteries. There'll be no funeral homes. There'll be nobody who has to do any embalming. There'll be no grave diggers, no jobs of that nature. And today, May the 24th, is Pentecost Sunday. In some ways, it almost feels like we've come to the end of the party, the end of the festivities. The major events of the church calendar are done. The church calendar, with significance, always starts right before Christmas. We call it Advent, 4 weeks before Christmas. And then we have Christmas, and then we have Ash Wednesday, and that takes us into the whole Lenten season. And then the start of Holy Week. Its first is Palm Sunday. And then we get to Maundy Thursday, and Good Friday, and Easter Sunday. The glorious resurrection of our Lord and Savior. 40 days later, we celebrate Ascension. We did that last Sunday. And today is Pentecost. Now, following the guidelines of the church year calendar, after today, this red banner that's on the communion table will be changed to green. And it will be green until the first Sunday of Advent, November the 29th. And just giving you a heads up, when that happens, you've got 25 days left shopping before Christmas. On our church calendar, the season that we are coming into, the green banner, is called Ordinary Time. Ordinary Time. It kind of has a blasé sound to it, almost like, yeah, don't expect too much to happen. But before we enter in to that kind of thinking, let me tell you, Pentecost has the potential to be extremely significant and invigorating in our personal lives and in the life of the church. We are celebrating the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives as Christians. And it is the fulfillment of the promises that God made through Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit is as intimate a gift as you can imagine. It's the presence of God within us in our daily lives at all times. Can we touch the Holy Spirit? Can we see Him? Can we feel Him in a tangible way, show Him to others? No, we can't. But you know what else? I can't see the air I'm breathing right now. But I know it's here. Why? Because of how I feel. I would also know instantly if all the air went out of this room. So would you. And in a way, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit, has a word that's pneuma. And that means the breath of God, the Spirit of God. And that's the breath of God that spoke over the waters in Genesis when things started. And we still use that word pneuma. For you car guys, remember when the hard rubber tires, they started to get tubes? Those were called pneumatic tires because they had air in them. We still use the word pneuma, that's the start, for pneumonia, because it's problems with our lungs and the air system in our hearts. So there's lots of stuff that we can't see that we rely on, and the Holy Spirit is one of them. Now, the Holy Spirit is one with many different names. And one of them, the fancy name, is Paraclete. And you know the word para means to come alongside of. And so Paraclete, have the image, think of the Holy Spirit, comes alongside of you like you have done to other people when they're struggling, and you put an arm around them and you say, hey, I'm here. I'm here to support you. I'm here to encourage you. You're not walking alone. The word Paraclete means to come alongside of. So that's one of the beautiful names for the Holy Spirit, but there's lots of other ones. The Comforter. We sang about that. He comforts us. He strengthens us. He's our advocate. He's our helper. He's our counselor. He's our teacher. He's one who convicts us. When you are in a situation, no matter what it is, and you have a little voice that says, don't do that. Don't say that. Don't look at that. Don't read that. Don't go there. That's the Holy Spirit. That's the Holy Spirit who's directing you and guiding you what to do. And you know what? The Holy Spirit, another name for him, and this is really critical, he is the Spirit of Truth. He is the Spirit of Truth, and he always testifies about Jesus. He always points to who Jesus is. Yes, he is God with us. The Holy Spirit will not lead us astray. And so the teachings of Jesus, and we're going to go back a minute now. This is on Maundy Thursday, so this is before Good Friday, before his crucifixion. Jesus is teaching his disciples, and John has probably more about the Holy Spirit from the four Gospels than any of the other Gospels. And this is what Jesus was teaching them that night. He says, I'm going to have to go away. We talked about that last week, right, with the ascension. He says, I'm going to have to go to the Father, because then the Father will send the Counselor. The Father will send the Comforter. The Father will send the Spirit of Truth. So just having said that little bit, let me assure you that even though this is going to turn to green, we are not entering ordinary time. We are entering a time that has lots of potential. And one of the questions before you is, what are you going to do with it? The Holy Spirit is available. What are we going to do with it? So our first reading is just a really short one. It comes out of John 15. And once you find that, just keep your Bible open, because in a minute we'll go to John 16. It's kind of on the same page. So page 1538, John 15, verses 26 and 27. And Jesus, this is what he was teaching the disciples on what we call Maundy Thursday. When the Advocate, that's the Holy Spirit, comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of Truth, who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me. And you also must testify, for you have been with me from the beginning. Okay, there's a lot in those two verses. The Holy Spirit testifies to who Jesus is. And then he says, you're called to do the same. We are called to testify to who Jesus is. And that's why I said this is not ordinary time. This is game time for us. Everything up to this point, in a way, has been scrimmage and practice and training. And it's like, okay, it's time for you to get on the field. It's time for you to do this. So what do we believe about the Holy Spirit? What do we believe about this advocate, the Spirit of Truth? Well, a good resource is the Heidelberg Catechism. I'm going to hold this up again. If you don't have one of these little gray books, just call the church office Tuesday or Wednesday when Mary Lee is here, And last week was good. We gave five away. We ran out, which is a good thing, not complaining, because now we can order more. And I hope everybody ends up with one of these. It's a tremendous book. Tremendous book. But this has got the Heidelberg Catechism in it. This week it's in your bulletin, and we'll just look at Lord's Day 20, and I'll read the question if you will read the responsive part. And the question is, what do you believe? This is real personal. What do you believe concerning the Holy Spirit? First, He as well as the Father and the Son is eternal God. Second, He has been given to me personally so that by true faith, He makes me share in Christ and all His blessings, comforts me, and remains with me forever. So what did we learn? Well, a couple of things in those short answers. The Holy Spirit is eternal God. He's the eternal God along with the Father and the Son. He is the third person of the Trinity. The Holy Spirit is an integral, but also a really important and equal member of the Godhead. And I think I mentioned this earlier already. The Holy Spirit is not a junior partner. Like God the Father, God the Son are talking things over and say, well, let's send the Holy Spirit. He can take care of that. It's not that important. No, He's an equal partner in the Trinity, in the Godhead. This needs to be understood and believed without reservation so that Pentecost means to you what it really signifies. Means to you what it really signifies. And then the second part, the second answer said, He's given to us personally. When you think about that, isn't that incredible? This Holy Spirit, part of the Godhead, third person of the Trinity, is given to you and me personally. We have our own personal God. The same God for all of us, but He relates to us on a personal level. And this is a gift of faith and through faith. And if you are a believer, if you believe what's in the Scriptures, that you believe Jesus is the Son of God, the Holy Spirit has worked in your heart. Because otherwise you can't believe this stuff. Until the Holy Spirit touches your heart, none of this will seem real. And you'll have a really hard time believing it. So, the Holy Spirit makes me share in Christ and all His blessings. Well, that's a tremendous inheritance. The riches of Christ are untold, unmeasurable. The Holy Spirit comforts me. We sang about that just a few minutes ago. The Holy Spirit remains with me forever. And we'll look at this in a little more detail now based on the passage. And so that's the next chapter, John 16. So still the same page, 1538. And we're going to read verses 7 through 15. John 16, starting at verse 7. And this has to do with also the work of the Holy Spirit. Hear the Word of God. Verse 7. But very truly, Jesus speaking, but very truly I tell you, it's for your good I'm going away. That's the ascension. Unless I go away, the advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I'll send him to you. When he comes, he will prove the world to be in the wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. About sin, because people don't believe in me. About righteousness, because I'm going to the Father, where you can see me no longer. And about judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. I've much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He'll guide you into all the truth. He will not speak on His own. He will speak only what He hears, and He will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify me, because it is from me that He will receive what He will make known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine, and that is why I said the Spirit will receive from me what He will make known to you. May God add His blessing to this holy and inspired word. Jesus' teaching to encourage the disciples, this is the night before His crucifixion. And so first Jesus assures them, this is really a good, they didn't understand it yet, okay? We acknowledge that. But he assures them that it's a really good thing that he is going away. Because when that happens, he can send the Holy Spirit to come and dwell in them. The Holy Spirit is also an advocate. We talked about that last week. Did you notice the choice of words? Jesus is the advocate sitting at the right hand of God the Father, advocating on our behalf. Now we are sent the Holy Spirit, who is also an advocate. And so we have this great representation. Jesus as an advocate in heaven, and now the Holy Spirit advocating on our behalf. So the role of the Holy Spirit. There's a whole lot to say about it because his role is multifaceted. He is a comforter, he's an instructor, he's a helper, he's someone who convicts, he's someone who convinces. If this was a sports team, we would say the Holy Spirit is the utility player. Without him, we are lost. And so this passage that we just read in John, it highlights several specific tasks of the Holy Spirit. But remember that what covers all of it is that his is a spirit of truth in all his tasks. Everything he does points to the truth. And so he convicts and convinces us of our sin. And until we're convinced of our sin, that we're in need of a Savior, the Holy Spirit cannot comfort us. Because if that hasn't happened, we haven't been humbled. We haven't been broken. We haven't bowed down before him. And until that happens, until our rebel spirit is gone, the Holy Spirit is not able to comfort us. In a broad sweep, the Holy Spirit always testifies to Jesus. He's always pointing. He's always pointing to Jesus. That's where it always goes. He testifies to us about Jesus, and then we're called to testify to others. That's why I said it's game time. It isn't just that we're supposed to hear this stuff and say, well, that's pretty interesting, and then go about our business. No, this is the kind of stuff that's to transform who we are. And so we're called to testify or witness to who Christ is. Now, I'll give you a little caveat here. Unless we have had a personal relationship with Jesus, we're not able to do that. Unless we have had a personal relationship with Jesus has transformed our lives, we cannot testify or be a witness to him. That can only happen when the Holy Spirit has convicted our inner hearts and that then we can express it externally. That's the only way it can happen. I can't be a witness to something I haven't experienced or seen. And it's the same way when we're called to testify or be a witness for Christ. And so the 3 points in that little passage we read in John 16 that John addresses, there's 3 points. The first one says, he will prove the world wrong about sin. Well, what's worldly wisdom? Sin is an obsolete word. Who uses the word sin? And one of the reasons we don't use it is we don't believe in it. What's really sin? And who are you calling out? And what's this about? God is a loving God. The sin stuff, we don't buy into that anymore. To sin means to miss the mark. The Holy Spirit convicts us of our sin. The Spirit teaches nothing new. In John 8:24, Jesus himself teaches this. I told you that you would die in your sins if you don't believe that I am he. In other words, that he was saying, if you don't believe I'm the Messiah, if you don't believe I'm the Savior, you will die in your sins. You have to believe in who I am. If we don't confess that we are sinners who need a Savior, we too will die in our sins. The Scripture teaches that, teaches it very clearly. We will be lost and not enter the kingdom of God.
So when the Holy Spirit convicts you or speaks to your heart, you always know it's the Holy Spirit if he's pointing to Jesus. If he's pointing anywhere else, it's a false spirit. But if he's pointing to Jesus, you know it's the Holy Spirit. There's a powerful story in the Bible about conviction, what the Holy Spirit can do. Remember the crowd? This is actually part of the Pentecost story. Remember the crowd on Good Friday that was shouting, "Crucify him, crucify him," when they were talking about what to do with Jesus? Well, now it's 50 days later. We're in the book of Acts, Acts chapter 2. Peter is preaching. Remember cowardly Peter? He has been touched by the Holy Spirit. He preaches with boldness. And in Acts 2:36, he says this to the crowd. This is the crowd that said, "Crucify him, crucify him." He said, "God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified." That's bold. He didn't say, "You know, there's some bad people that did that. I know it wasn't you guys." He said, "No, whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah." When the people heard this, they were quickened in their hearts. That's the old King James. But they were struck in their hearts, and they shouted out, "Brothers, what shall we do?" That's conviction. We need to do something. We need to change our lives. We need to change how we live. And Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins, and receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." The role of the Holy Spirit, one of them, is to convince us that we need a Savior. And then another role is to convince us of righteousness. True righteousness versus self-righteousness. What's self-righteousness? When I'm in a self-righteous spirit, I can justify anything I'm doing. I can rationalize every decision I make, and I'm never accountable or take responsibility for anything. Because I'm just doing my own thing, and who do you think you are? That's self-righteousness. True righteousness is when we're convinced of the righteousness with Jesus, because our own righteousness is an hypocrisy. But the Holy Spirit exposes this. It's the darkness in our own hearts, and he exposes that to us. Then the Holy Spirit convicts people of coming judgment. Why is that important? Well, because for each one of us, it's appointed for a person to die, and after that, the judgment. Not one of us is going to escape the judgment. And so the Holy Spirit convicts us of coming judgment and makes certain that we know what matters on the day of judgment. Now, the world's take on judgments are blind, faulty, and evil. What epitomizes that? Christ's death. When their judgment said he deserves to die, that tells you how faulty and askew that all was. But the Holy Spirit convinces us of what true judgment is and what is significant and what isn't. And in pointing to Jesus, he reminds us that without Jesus, we cannot escape judgment. Impossible. And that's why Jesus is able to say, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me." Yes, no matter what you hear, there's nothing else and no one else that can be our Savior and Lord. And so the Holy Spirit moves in our hearts and convinces us we need a Savior. If you believe all of this, thank God, praise him, because the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, has touched your heart, and this is a gift of faith that he has given you. And this is what truth is all about. This is practical and equipping for daily life. This is what truth is all about. This is a preacher's dream. The clock stopped. I thought, "Oh man, I'm doing really good." Yes, I believe it did stop. Well, we're half done. So, Knowing these things, how do we live in our world? What difference is this going to make? Is this going to change anything in our lives or how we live? We live in a world with so much corruption, so many lies, and so much distortion. The Holy Spirit teaches us we must never believe the lie or surrender to what we know is not true. This is important on different levels. One, of course, for our spiritual well-being, but for culture as a whole, for society. The less truth in a person's life, the more anxious they are. The less truth in a person's life, the more anxious they are. We don't live well with uncertainty. Truth is an anchor. Truth is a foundation. So we live in a culture where even a Supreme Court judge isn't sure what a woman is. That's a question that floats around. What's a man? What's a woman? What does marriage mean? When does life begin? What gives life value? You know a big question today? What does it mean to be human? What does it mean to be human? And AI is playing into that in a big way. And maybe the ultimate question, is there a God or can I become my own God? Is there a God, a higher being, or can I become my own God? Gen Z and Gen Alpha as a whole are the most anxious young people we have ever seen because we have handed them a world that has no foundational truth. As Christians, we can't sit on the truth or hide it. As Christians, we know the one who is the truth. And you know, when you go back to that story when Pilate asked Jesus, what is truth? He didn't wait for an answer, but the Holy Spirit gives us an answer. Christian truth is personal, but it's not private. And there's a big difference. It's personal, but it's not private. It's Jesus and the Word. We need to have the courage to be salt and light where we live. That is why we must never surrender our freedom of speech and the freedom of religion, or buy into all kinds of things we know do not agree with the Word of God. We have so much stuff in our culture today peddled as human wisdom. We must not compromise. We may not compromise. Through the Holy Spirit, Christianity offers an explanation of reality. Do you know that we live in a time, an era, where reality is collapsing? Reality is collapsing, and people are asking, what's real and what isn't? We all ask that when you go on the internet and you read a story, you ask yourself, what? Is that true or isn't it? Because reality is collapsing. We don't know what's true and what isn't. We have moved from the modern era. Most of us, many of us, at least if you're over about 30, you grew up in still the modern era. The modern era had foundational truth, objective truth, not that it was perfect or anything like that. But from the modern era, we moved into the postmodern era. The postmodern era started to question objective truth. Are there absolute truths, or my truth, your truth, whatever works? But we have already moved past that, and we are now into the post-truth era. And post-truth era, and I bring this all up because Pentecost, the Holy Spirit, is the truth and testifies to the truth. In the post-truth era, and this is what we're dealing with, feelings and preferences top facts. And what's one of the examples we live with? Well, just I'm going to give you this example. This morning I'm identifying as Henrietta. I want you to call me Henrietta. I'm just feeling like I'm a woman today. I also want you to use the correct pronouns, which would be she and her. If you don't do that, you're really hurting my feelings. And when you hurt my feelings like that, that's hate speech. That's how we got where we are with losing our freedom of speech. Because we have moved from the modern era to the postmodern to now where we're in a post-truth era, and feelings and preferences are what dictates what we believe and what is real. That's why reality is collapsing, because feelings and preferences are fickle. They keep changing. And when we don't have any truth, when there's a lack of objective truth, it destabilizes trust. If I don't have truth, I don't know how to trust. And that contributes to the isolation, the anxiety, and the suicide rate, especially in the younger generations. Christianity is the only one who offers the true story about creation, about the fall, about redemption, and restoration. Christianity is truth and gives us identity. The Bible teaches over and over that you find your identity in Christ. You know how many people are searching for identity, trying to find themselves? They'll never find themselves until they find Jesus, until they're rescued by Jesus. Truth is foundational for our morality. Truth gives life purpose, meaning, and hope. And the forces that work in our culture want to distort all of that. And we need to be on guard. We need to be on guard and hang on to that we know what truth is. Artificial intelligence is a big player in all of this. AI has merit, but like the tree of knowledge of good and evil, it has a horribly destructive side. Remember, AI, some people think AI will, artificial intelligence and robots will replace humanity. It is not created in the image of God. Never let go of that. We are His crowning glory. We are the ones created in the image of God. We are above all other created things. Even if ChatGPT can seem so real. There's a story about a young man had a friendship with, well, it was through AI, but seemed like a real relationship to him. In his discouragement, he started to talk to the robot about that life wasn't worth living. And he ended up committing suicide. I can tell you more stories like that. But that's the dark side of the world that we live in. The Holy Spirit has been given to us to survive in this crazy world that we live in, where reality is collapsing. See, if you don't know where reality is or what it is, you don't have a place to stand. And that's why this is so critical. The Holy Spirit has been given to us. We have to embrace Him. We have to subscribe to Him. We have to let Him into our hearts and our lives. And so I close with this verse from 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12. What we have received is not the spirit of this world. We need to remember that. We have not received the spirit of this world, and we need to have a spirit of discernment to know which is which. We've not received the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may understand what God has freely given us. And then I just add one out of Ephesians, one verse. And the Holy Spirit guarantees our inheritance. What's he saying? The Holy Spirit guarantees our eternal life. Eternity with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You know, as I was working on this and putting it together, this was my last thought. Pentecost is a lot like Christmas. You will call Him Emmanuel, God with us. The Holy Spirit, God with us. What a gift. Father, we come to You. We can never improve on what You have done. But thank You for letting us be benefactors, the recipients of the gifts that You have given us. The gift of life, the gift of redemption, the gift of purpose, the gift of restoration, the gift of assurance. And that the Holy Spirit will testify to all of these things in our hearts because He's from You. I pray, Father, that you would use this message and sear this into our hearts and see the gravity of the world that we live in, but never to be discouraged, because he that is in us is greater than he that is in the world, and that's the power of the Holy Spirit living in us. Help us to embrace that and not to be cowardly. Give us boldness. If I said anything this morning that wasn't pleasing to you, would you just erase that from our minds? I ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's continue worshiping our God by standing to sing number 390, verses 1, 3, and 4. Spirit of God, descend upon my heart. 390, 1, 3, and 4. You may be seated. May that flame burn brightly on the altar of your heart. At this time, the morning offering will be received. The deacons will wait upon you.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you and we do praise you. From you all blessings flow. We think of all the material blessings we have, everything that you have given us, the freedom in the land that we live in, all that bounty. But there's no gifts, no blessings that compare to what you have done through your Son Jesus and the Holy Spirit. So we give you all the praise, and then through his indwelling in our hearts, may we be molded and shaped into the people you want us to be, so you get the glory and that others are blessed through it. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. At this time, our closing hymn is number 385, Where the Spirit of the Lord Is. We will sing that after the benediction, so receive God's parting blessing. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit abide with you, both now and for all of eternity. Amen.